Canadian trip there, and pray for Pastor Jeffrey as he moves ahead with his trial. And, you know, things are, you know, somewhat kind of stalled right now, but you keep praying for him. I'll tell you, the devil wants to shut him up, and that's a good reason why I want to go there and make a joyful noise, right? Get that message out to all over the place and let people really understand what's going on today in our world and how they are trying to do all they can do to shut up the people of God and the preachers of righteousness. They are trying to shut them up and shut them down, and they are using hate speech, crime laws, and things like that to try to do that because they don't want people hearing the truth. They don't want them to know. Satan is the god of this world, and he hath blinded the minds of them, right? And they are blinded, and they want to stay in their ignorance, and they want to go to hell without a warning, and Satan wants them to go to hell without a warning. So we need to do all that we can do to preach the gospel to them, to call all men everywhere to repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, that God would change their hearts and make them a new creature, and that they'd be born again and have the forgiveness of sins, which is what every man alive needs, and woman and child alive needs to be forgiven by the grace of God and have their sins blotted out. And that's why we're here, and that's why we preach what we do. That's why we spread it all over the world. That's why we preach the gospel. We try to see churches follow good gospel order and, you know, teach the churches as well. I mean, man, I hope some pastors wake up. I put this on here on my Facebook page this morning here. Pastors have far too long hid behind their pulpit in the four walls of their meeting house and not got out in the highways and confronted sinners with the law and the gospel. They operate like professionals, scared to be challenged and only willing to preach to the amen section of their churches. Now more than ever do pastors need to lead their men out to the streets where true evangelism takes place and preach in the streets and warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. You'd think I'd get a lot of feedback from all the pastors and everyone that's on my friends list, that I have a lot of pastors that are on there. I'm not going to point them out, but I do. But they don't say a word. It's crickets. Why? Because they don't want to be rattled. They don't want to be shaken up. They don't want to be challenged in front of everybody. They don't want to look bad in front of the world. They don't want to go out to the highways and the byways and preach the gospel. Everything else is not offensive. You could go out and, man, you could sing songs. That ain't going to offend anybody. They don't get mad at that. The Catholics walked around and chanted, and few people even cared. I'll show you that. The Catholics and the Protestants. And then old John Piper gets up there and he says, "Oh, we're not going to win this by being loud. We're going to win this by silence. We have to learn how to suffer." Okay, John, whatever you say, walking around, you apostate Baptist, walking around with a bunch of Catholics and Protestants while they're chanting. You big baby. While just a half an hour before you got there, old Bishop Big Britches was over there blessing people, putting his hands on people and blessing them while they're bowing down to the Archbishop. Bunch of fakes. All in communication, all together. Really? Ah. Yeah, I don't think that worked out well with me and the Archbishop, did it? It never will. No truce with Rome. No truce. Like Spurgeon said, we wouldn't harm a hair on their head. But we will preach to them. And we will warn them. To flee from the wrath to come. Warn them that they must be born again. But you know, it's unpopular. It's unpopular to get out there and preach. It's so, I mean, it's not, it's hard enough, you know, to stand even in your churches against, you know, for the righteousness of God and for the truth of the gospel and all those things, right? It is a challenge. But it's even more difficult when you lead men out, when you go out and you preach the gospel in the open air, when you call men to repentance, when you get out there and you stand up and you preach the word of God and you confront them. That's why Pastor Jeffrey is in trouble right now with the police. Why? Because the Crown wants to charge him. Why? Because he didn't keep it in his four walls. He went out to the highways and the byways and he preached the gospel. He preached the law schoolmaster. He told them they were perverts and they needed to repent of their sexual perversion and wickedness. And guess what happened? They got offended. They got offended. Why? Because he preached the Bible to them. Are you waiting for him to come to your church? You're going to knock on their door and invite him to church, and you're going to wait for him to do that? You got to go out in front of those bars. You got to go out in that downtown area. You got to go out in front of that abortion clinic. You got to stand outside of the fair. You got to stand outside of the sporting event. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You got to get out there. But you know something? Most of these pastors are way too timid. Why? Because I'll tell you what, it's not easy when men oppose you. It's not easy. It's not like a church meeting where there's order and there's discipline. It's not easy. In the church, there's order and discipline and people have to obey them that have the rule over you. But out on the street, it's not like that. Out on the street, in the world, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You know why a lot of these people aren't suffering today? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You know why many of them aren't suffering any persecution? Because they're not out there. Nobody hates them. Nobody hates them. Nobody wants to kill them. Nobody wants to. That's what Paul Washer said, or Steve Lawson, one of those guys, said that. You know what the problem is today? Nobody wants to kill the pastor. Nobody wants to kill the preacher. Nobody's mad at him anymore. Because they prophesy unto them smooth things. They prophesy unto them smooth things. When the gospel has go in it for a reason. It has go in it for a reason. Because you're to go. And pastors are to lead their men out into battle. Not doing that. They're not doing it. Why? Save face. Save face. Hey, I had people leave our church because they didn't like street preaching. So they left. What do I do? Just keep moving on? Didn't matter to me if they liked it or not. We're going to do it anyway. But they're not, so we're not seeing that. So I put that challenge out there, right? Say something. They have nothing to say. Why? It's uncomfortable. It takes a lot of work. And you're wrong sometimes. And you got to fix things sometimes. And you got to work through things sometimes. They don't want to stand out in front of events. Literally, they'll go door to door and hit like 25 doors to hand out tracts. When they can literally hand out thousands of tracts at an event. Or hundreds if it's smaller. But they don't. Boy, it's hard to face the lost world. It's hard for them to stand up and face the lost world. I'm telling you. It's hard for them to stand out there outside of those LGBTQ churches it's hard for them to do it. I know men that go preach in different places and they were like, oh man, you can't say that stuff to sinners. You can't do that. Well, you mean you can't? You mean you won't say it to them? Why? You want everybody to like you. So you won't say it to them. Right? I had one preacher critique and say, oh, you should have let that old nasty granny talk. Why? I didn't need her to convert me. I'm not the one that needed to be saved. I've already been saved by the grace of God. She's the one that turned her two sons into fruits and then's going into a nasty drag show. A lot of these men can wax real eloquently behind a pulpit and in a safe place, but when it comes to getting out on the streets and confronting sinners, they're not willing to do it. And that's a shame. Their forefathers did it. That's what changed this country. Their forefathers did it, and it changed this country. Changed it. It was done all across Scotland. It was done all across Ireland. It was done all across England. It was done all across America. But not now. Not now. They won't do it now. The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity is abounding in the world, because it's a wicked place and it's a harsh place, and sin is abounding in the world today, the love of many shall wax cold. Nope. They don't want to get out there. They don't want to do that. They don't want to stand up. Right? You know what irks me is, especially men with real good doctrine, biblical doctrine, strong biblical doctrine and a strong church and faith and practice, and they won't get out there. But meanwhile, the Pelagians and the Arians and everybody else. Let me tell you a story. What happened to me yesterday? So, yesterday morning, I was sitting in my chair, and I got a knock on the door. My wife answers the door. It was a woman. And she was a JW. And she started talking to my wife, and she said, "Do you think the world is going to continue to be like this?" And my wife said, "Well, the Bible says that the world's going to wax, you know, worse and worse and all those things." And she told her, "My husband's a Baptist pastor. And she said, oh." And we started talking, and she started talking about Jesus being, my wife said, "We believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And that lady goes, "Oh, yeah, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And I yelled out from my chair. I yelled out from my chair, He's God also. Jesus Christ is God. Right? She goes, "Oh, no." And I go, "Oh, yes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And yes, I was preaching to her from my chair. Really loud. And then I went to Colossians chapter 1 by memory, Lord willing. I might have not got every word right, but I did. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. Right about now, she's getting a little bit rattled. And she goes, "No, how could he be the image of the Father? How could he be right at the right hand of the Father?" I said, "It's easy. It's the Trinity. But you're a bunch of Arians and you deny the Trinity. And that's because your Bible's wrong. And that's because you got your Bible from Rome." "No, the Jehovah's Witnesses translated the Bible." "Oh," I said, "you mean the emphatic diogolite? Oh, I could tell you about the emphatic diogolite. The emphatic diogolite was translated from the same corrupt text as Westcott and Hort. That's the critical text. That's the emphatic diogolite. It says the same exact thing as all of the critical texts say." Right? And then I read to her Hebrews chapter 1, "God who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets." Actually, I read verse 3, "who being the brightness of his glory," I read this part, "and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Yeah. She didn't like that, of course. And then I told her also what the scriptures say. Oops, 1 Timothy. Oops. "And without controversy..." This is what I took her to. "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory." Know why your Bible don't say that? Because it was translated from a corrupt text. The same one that Rome uses. But my Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. And yes, I was yelling. She said, "Well, I'm not used to my minister shouting at me." I said, "I know. That's why he sent a woman to do a man's job. Where's your men at? Where's all the men at? Why'd they send you to do it?" She said, "They're in the car. They weren't any men in that car. You know who's in that car? A couple little boys called elders. They were a bunch of boys." Boy, she didn't send them up to my door. I told her, "Look, lady, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. You got one foot in the grave right now. You are on your way to hell. You are preaching another gospel, and let it be a curse." She goes, "Well, I respect your beliefs." I said, "I don't respect yours." "I don't respect yours." I said, "You know what the Bible says? It says, 'But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before,'" and I shouted out, "'so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.'" And that's how I said it, just like that. Just like that. Yep. Like exactly, like losing my voice like that loud. Just like that. I said, "You don't believe in hell either." "Well, we believe hell is the grave." I said, "Well, you're wrong. Because the Bible says the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That's the Lake of Fire, lady. And you're on your way there. You are going to die and go to hell preaching a false gospel. Let me just tell you, that cage was extremely, extremely rattled. She left trembling. Her lip was quivering. And it wasn't because I was loud. It's because of the Bible. It's because of the Word of God. It's because she couldn't back me down one inch from the truth. And I let her know the gospel, which is able to save her soul. 50 years she's been a JW. 50 years she's on her way to hell. Someone's got to tell her the truth. Someone's got to warn her. And I want you to think of the flip side of it too. That woman is daily going to people's houses and subverting men's souls. She is taking the souls of those women and she is teaching them that Jesus Christ is not God. And there ain't no way you're going to step on my doorstep and preach to me that Jesus is not God. You are going to hear it. You ain't telling my wife Jesus ain't God. And you ain't telling my children Jesus ain't God without you hearing it. She heard it. She heard it well. She said, well, my minister doesn't talk like that. Like, I know. You're talking to a man here. Right? We ain't sending no women out to do a man's job. I ain't sending my wife door to door to go preach to nobody. She's got babies to take care of. She's got responsibilities at home. She's got duties to perform at home. She's got to work that God's called her to do. So, I gave it to her. I gave her the gospel. I gave it all. I told her, you're cursed. I'm bidding you Godspeed. I'm not respecting your viewpoint. Why would I respect it? You have the liberty to have the viewpoint, and I wouldn't harm a hair on your head. Right? I certainly wouldn't harm a hair on your head. But I don't respect what you believe. I think it's wicked. I said, you're an Arianist. You believe in Arianism. She proudly owned it. It reminded me of that video. That's Arianism, Patrick. I did the same thing to a lady. By the way, before I even was a street preacher, 15 years ago, actually longer than that, probably 2005. I think it was before I pastored even, like 2006, five or six, somewhere around there. Some JW knocked on my door in Northfield, some woman. Man, I preached to that lady. I had her so rattled. I said, you're going to hell, lady. You are on your way to hell. And she goes, well, maybe you're going to go there. I said, no, I've been saved by the grace of God. I ain't going there. Remember, JWs don't even believe in hell, but that woman was visibly shaken. I had another time when my dad was out in California, and he was staying with my brother for a few months. My dad and mom were. And these JWs knocked on the door, and my dad was trying to witness to him, right? And my dad put that young man, on the phone with me. And I started preaching to that young man that Jesus is God. I started preaching the gospel to that young man. I told him, you better get out of that cult, man. You better get out of there. They're gonna lead you, they're leading you to hell. You better get out of there. Right? So I started preaching to him. Well, then his elder came in. And when his elder came in, on the phone, he goes, oh, I can see we can't do any good here. And I said to him, you mean you can't do any bad here? That's what you mean. You can't do any bad here? Yeah, you're right. You can't do any bad here. That's what I said to him. So he left too. I chase him away with the word of God, man. I give him the Bible. They don't like it. I do it when I'm out preaching on the streets when I see the JWs. I do the exact same thing, man. I do the exact same thing with them. I preach so hard, they leave. They just get up and leave. They take their little cart and they roll out of there. Because I preach Jesus is God and that they have another gospel and let it be accursed. I nail them with it every single time I'm out there when they're around. I preach to them so hard that they get up and leave. They don't want to stay there. They get their cart and they take off. Because I go, I'm preaching directly to the Jehovah's Witnesses over here. Every time. Right? That's exactly. I love it. I do it all the time. Right. So I make a lot of friends. And influence a lot of people. Right? Okay. All right. Now, before we get started here, you pray for us. Okay? You pray for us. Because we are getting ready to go here in 6 weeks. Pray for the Lord to continue to provide everything. Pray for safety. Pray for the Lord's power as we preach and encourage God's people. Okay? And by the way, I'm going to say this to you. And listen, here's the thing. I want you to understand that God takes care of me. I'm not saying this because I'm like hurting for money. I would say I don't ever tell people if I'm hurting for money. I tell God. If I ever was, I would tell God. So, but I want you to consider this. Anyway, again, I don't have any like pressing things or anything else, but here's what I would say to you. You should have a desire. If you don't already support a local New Testament church, you should have a desire to give to a ministry that is doing something. I'm not some online influencer. I do 3 broadcasts a week to be a blessing to Old Paths Baptist Church and to be a blessing to those that listen to Old Paths Baptist Church. I travel and go places and preach the gospel and try to bring things to people's awareness and wake up pastors and wake up churches and try to get them to see their need to get on fire for the Lord. Okay, we're not just sitting around making videos all day. I do that. I do make videos because I believe it's a great ministry. But let me tell you, if you're not supporting ministries, if you're not supporting churches that are going the right way, so we can plant more churches, so we can get more, right? All that. If you're not doing that, you need to seriously consider doing that. I don't have any memberships. I don't have any Patreon. I don't have any like scale of how much money to give me, or I don't do any of that. I don't even do it at church. I have a box in the back at church. I'm not like, okay, we're going to take up our offering here and I'm going to watch to see if you put something in. I don't do that. We put a box in the back, we leave it there. And I'm not saying this because I'm hurting for money. What I'm saying to you is that you ought to ask yourself a question. If I'm not in a local New Testament church that's doing the right things because I can't be or I can't move right now or anything like that, am I supporting one regularly that's doing something for the Lord? Am I doing that? And is there a reason I'm not doing that? Okay? Is there a reason I'm not doing that? And guess what? You don't have to answer to me at all. Because believe me when I tell you, I will be just fine. God takes good care of his own. Right. If you're giving it, continue, right? I'm just saying, do what you need to do, okay? Do what the Lord leads you to do. Be supportive. Help out. Do what you can. You know what I mean? Because we're out there in the highways and the byways. We're out there trying to reach people for the Lord. We're not just sitting around. You know, we're moving. We're producing things and we're working on those documentaries and we're, you know, working on all those things to be a blessing, okay? And look, if churches feel led to pass an offering plate, I'm not condemning them for that, okay? I'm not. I'm not saying they're in sin to do that. That's theirs. That's between them and the Lord, okay? I'm not comparing myself among ourselves, okay? I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is I don't do that. I don't bring a budget to the church every week and be like, okay, we need this money. I don't do that, you know, or anything like that. So if you want to do something, great. If you can't do something, that's okay too, man. I don't care. You're still going to be my friend. I don't care. I mean, I care because I want you to do what the Lord would have you to do, but it's not going to change the way I feel about anybody or my service to the Lord in that sense, all right? I just want you to understand that, but I want you to do something. You know, I want you to do something. Don't sit on the sidelines and do nothing at all. It's like, oh, well, I just watch all the videos. Well, that's okay. I mean, but don't you want to be a part of it? Don't you want to do something? Don't you want to do something to be a blessing to others? You know, to be a part of it. And again, I'm telling you, I'm not saying this because I need anything. I'm not saying that, right? Like I have this urgent need. I'm just saying that in a general way. Be a part of, you know, souls being saved, lives being changed. Pray for us. Pray, right? But don't just be like a sideline person where you just watch and you're not in the battle. You know, you don't have anything to do. Like if you're not giving money anywhere to the Lord's work, if you're not doing anything, right? If you're not, then do something, right? Give it somewhere. Right? Give it somewhere. So just something. I want you to, and by the way, you know, I'm not a big corporate guy. Like, I don't do anything professionally. I don't have anything like that. I don't do that. It's not me. I don't do that. So anyway, just consider it, okay? Just consider it. And you can do that through PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. You can do it through by the way, Venmo is PastorCooley@iCloud.com. I gave the wrong address the other day for that. But you have the little bar thing somewhere you can scan or whatever, the little barcode thing or whatever. Anyway, all right? So anyway. Yeah, there are many ways to give. That's right, Andrea. That's correct. I mean, man, people have given me beef and meat and gift cards and prayers and bought stuff for our children and our babies and everything. I mean, there is. There's a lot. There's a lot of ways. There really is. And especially praying for us. Man, I hope you understand. I don't take that lightly. I need your prayers. Satan would, listen to me. Satan would love to destroy me. He would love to. He would just love to. I'm not saying that facetiously. I'm not saying that flippantly. You know? I'm not. I mean it. But God would use your prayers to hold me up. Okay? I believe that. I really do. So if anything, you would do that. And God will use somebody else. Yes, I do take pork, by the way. Anyway, all right, guys. Just, and gals. You know what. Oh, and by the way. I'm gonna get a weird message from this, but whatever. Teresa, Andrea, my wife said she did not get an email from you about like the tracks and stuff. Okay, so if you want to get a hold of her, please get a hold of her. Okay, and we'll get those sent out to you. The last broadcast, I had to put up with that. I almost like didn't want to say that because of what I had to endure the last broadcast. But anyway, okay, they were the ones that wanted tracks. All right, and that's, you can contact her. And contrary to public opinion, my science museum membership is with the museum, the Children's Science Museum of Minnesota. So, anyway. Oh, boy. All right. All right. I want to ask you a question before we play this video. If we don't do this and warn these people, who's going to? This first video is just going to be pretty much playing. Bible says in Exodus chapter 20. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is under the that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. God said, you're not to make a graven image. That cross is a graven image. It is an abomination before God. And you ought to repent of carrying it around. You're not to make an image of the Godhead. The Bible says that clearly. Jesus Christ said it in his word very plainly. Repent. Repent. That is idolatry. All your beads and all your prayer charms and all your other things and your crucifixes are idolatry. Trust in the living God. Repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It is nothing found in an image that you should worship and bow down to. That image has no power. The power is the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is not in your foolish idols. The word of God says it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel that has power, not a crucifix, not a picture of Christ, not an image, but Jesus Christ himself who died for sinners and was buried and rose again from the dead. Repent and believe the gospel. Stop carrying your foolish images around. They save no one. They are idolatry. They are abominable. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's wicked. Repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. Not the Pope. There's no hope in the Pope. He's a dope. There's no hope in your beads. There's no hope in your sacraments. There is hope in Christ alone. We have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. Repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't trust in man. Don't trust in your priest. Trust in the living God. Repent and believe the gospel today. Stop carrying around your images. They have no power. They are false worships and idols. Repent of them and believe the gospel of what Jesus did for you. Died, buried, and rose again from the dead. Not images of Christ. We are forbidden to worship images of Christ. Repent today. Stop being fooled. So I ask you, who else would tell them? You think about that. Who else will tell them that? You say, Pastor, that is a really hard message. I know. Jesus saved his hardest messages for the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Are they not Pharisees? Do they not hold to false worship? Do they not damn men's souls to hell? Do they not carry around their icons and their images and venerate them and bow down themselves to themselves and worship them? Do they not bow down to a man like they bowed down to the archbishop? Do they not call him the same thing that we are to call our Father in heaven? Abba, Father, Papa, El Papa? Do they not do the same thing? They are in danger of hell fire. They are all on their way to hell. They have a false gospel. They are not born again by the Spirit of God. They have not been saved by grace through faith. And that not of themselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Who's going to go tell them? They're all chanting and walking around. Who's going to tell them? Who will tell them the truth? Who will warn them to flee from the wrath to come? Right? Who? Right? Who's going to tell them? If we don't, no one, that's who. No one. Okay. Now, this next one we're going to cover is going to really deal with. We're going to deal with the arguments of the abortionists. A conversation that I had with this older woman. And this woman supports the murder of a, of infants. She supports population control. Wait till you hear the things that she says as we break it down and we'll look at it. How is it not a baby yet?
Are you worried about all the poor innocent babies that die? Because, you know, like something, I've put something in 40% of fertilized eggs get flushed away. Before.
You mean that the body naturally flushes away?
Yeah.
No, because that's natural. That's natural.
Babies that were naturally killed, you would be concerned about it, though.
Well, if God decides that naturally that body is going to do that, then yes. That's up to the Lord. Life is in God's hands.
Do you say, oh, okay, or do you go and get chemotherapy?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if I'd get chemotherapy or not. She asked me a question. Let me turn that up. Sorry, that wasn't up. Let me turn that up a little bit. Let me turn that microphone up all the way. There we go. She asked me a question. She asked me, well, what about when the body naturally, you know, flushes out eggs and things like that? Well, that's not abortion. That's not somebody going in with a baby that is 8 weeks old, 6 to 8 weeks old or whatever, and killing the baby, pulling it out of their body or sucking it out after 2 or 3 months. It's the body naturally flushing things out. It happens. But it's still a baby. She talked about miscarriage. You'll hear what she says.
I
don't
know if I trust them. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I mean, in general, do you think it's okay to go to the doctor when you're sick or just die?
Of course it's okay to go to the doctor when you're sick. Why wouldn't it be?
Well, if you can, I mean, nobody's even looking for a cure for all these babies that are dying. Why not?
They are.
What do you mean?
They think they have the cure. Murder them.
Right, Paul said they think they have the cure. They want to murder babies. That's the cure they're looking for. They want to put to death innocent life. Right? They want to put to death the most innocent and vulnerable of life.
I'm talking about the fertilized eggs get flushed away naturally.
Oh, I'm sorry. But he just said...
Nobody cares about them because nobody really thinks they're babies. I mean...
They're not. It's just an egg. It hasn't been... no conception.
Okay, so an egg is just an egg. A sperm is just a sperm.
When it comes together, it makes conception,
it's
right?
It's fine. Poof. A baby.
Well, that's how you got here. Yeah, what are you, just some kind of idiot? Are you such a wretch and such a wicked, vile, disgusting woman that has your understanding been so completely darkened? Let me show you something. Let me show you something. Has your understanding been so completely darkened? Look, and I know the answer to that, by the way. Here it is. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Like, how stupid do you have to be? And darkened does your wisdom and your understanding have to be? She's like, oh, so then the egg comes and the sperm comes and then poof, there's a baby there. Yeah, genius. That's how you got here. That's how everybody gets here. But that's what happens to a heart that's like that. See how darkened they are? Everybody's here the same way. That's how you got here.
I wasn't me when there was just that sperm and egg, and I wasn't me yet just after they combined.
The Bible says
it says it was, yeah.
I knew you when you were still in your womb, your mother's womb.
That. No, you got it wrong. Before I formed, I knew you before I formed you in the womb.
Because he's omniscient.
So, right. So that doesn't mean that
it's okay for you.
Okay, you're not you when there's just a sperm and egg, but poof, you're you when.
Well, that's what life is.
I mean, you're totally misinterpreting that.
That's like saying, well, when's a puppy then?
I would say the same thing, that it's when it's, you know.
What you're saying is that a human is like an animal then. You don't believe there's any difference in human beings and animals.
Do you think we are different?
Absolutely, we're different. Okay, stop. Did you hear that?
No, I don't.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You have a conscience, right? You know, you have. Do you hear that? She said. Do you hear what she said? Oh, you think we're different than animals? You don't? You don't? Did you drink too much Dum Dum juice or what? You don't see there's a difference? Oh, I forgot what verse that is. Hold on. I know it's in Psalm somewhere. I think it's 1. Let's see. Sorry, I forgot. 40, yeah? Nope. Oh, I cannot remember that verse now. Okay. Here we go, Psalm 139. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Pretty simple, right? Pretty simple. Right? But between right and wrong.
We're not animals. We're human beings.
Right.
We're
so
right.
Different.
You have a conscience. You know that you're sentient. You understand.
Okay. So anyways, if you had the choice of saving 100 fertilized eggs or an actual born baby, which one would you save?
That's not up to me. That's not even an accurate question. Those are like
philosophical mumbo jumbo.
Okay.
Right? Did you hear our argument turn? Now she's got some philosophical argument. Well, what if you had this and then you had this? I don't have to answer that. It's nonsense. It's not even accurate. She's just doing it. The reason she's doing it is to evade the truth.
I'll answer for you, because of course everybody who's not
every
mental
person
would see the baby, because a baby is a baby.
So you're saying the baby doesn't become a baby until it's 24 weeks?
Yeah, around there.
Gotcha. So you believe that it's not a baby until that? You believe that's not a baby until then?
Nobody cares. The fertilized egg doesn't care. And there's really, I mean, if you...
So you think the lady that just had a miscarriage in our church last week, you don't think she cares that her baby died and she believes it was a baby?
If she wanted a baby, she's going to care, of course.
Right, but you don't...
She didn't get a baby. That's where you say...
She had a mis...
Because they're expecting to have a baby.
Right, but she had a miscarriage, but she believes it's a baby.
Well, that's her right to believe whatever she wants.
So, but it's not a baby that she lost?
I would say not. I mean, it depends. What week was it? I don't know.
So it becomes a baby at a certain week, but it's not a baby before then. Do you see how dumb that is? How ridiculous. What is this? This is the product of evolution. Man, I wish I had that clip, Andrew, of me nailing those black guys, those eugenicists, those black guys with about that eugenicism right in front of that abortion clinic, right in front of that date. Man, I nailed those guys. Anyway, that's the mentality. This is survival of the fittest. That's what she's preaching here. She's preaching survival of the fittest. That's what she's preaching. That's exactly what she's preaching. Survival of the fittest. It's exactly what it is.
But,
so you would say she did?
Yes, of course, it's fine to mourn a lost pregnancy. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
But that's not a baby in your
and
eyes.
I wouldn't say, oh, that's a, yes. I wouldn't say, oh, that's a human life, and you gotta, you know, no. I mean, I wouldn't force somebody to keep that in them when they don't want it. You know, it's worth it. The person who's pregnant is far more valuable than that potential life that's growing into.
Really? Wow. Don't you think that's foreign? Don't you think that understanding to that is absolutely...
It's literally torture.
But don't you think that's a foreign concept to what a mother is?
It fits the definition of torture.
You don't think that's a foreign concept? So understand this. Abortionists believe that a baby in the womb is torture for a woman. They believe it's torture for a woman. You heard her. She just said it. So for her to go out, sleep with a man, the natural progression of that is for the woman to get pregnant and to have a baby and to be pregnant with a child. Okay? She says it is torture for that woman not to be able to kill her baby. Oh, silly me. I thought it was torture when you pulled the baby out and sucked its brains out. But it's actually torture to make her have a baby. Well, no one made her sleep with the man. And even if they did and something unfortunate like that happened and illegal and wicked happened like that, it doesn't mean you kill the baby. That doesn't make up for it. The baby's not a criminal. But this is the doctrine of evolution. By the way, it is also what the scriptures call. In Romans 1:31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. The same list is here. This in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. They don't have natural affection. Let me help you with something. It is natural for men and women to want to have babies. That is natural. It is natural when you come together with a woman that you would want a baby. It's natural. I'm going to tell you another thing that I've seen also that's going on in our world today. You see these young girls saying things like, ooh, I don't want that thing feeding off me. I don't want that thing feeding off me. You know why formula and everything else is so popular today? Because some young girls that do get pregnant, young ladies that do get pregnant, they don't have natural affection and they don't know how to nurture and they don't know how to love a baby and feed a baby and become intimately close with that baby. So, not always, but many times, not all the time, but many times when young girls that get married, young ladies that get married, can't nurse or don't want to nurse, it's generally because they don't want to. They don't know how to be close to that baby. Because they go through pain learning how to nurse, learning how to help their baby get a good latch, learning how to for the baby to draw out right on the mom. They get engorged. They go through a series of hormonal things. They go through a series of emotional and hormonal things when trying to nurse. And by the way, just having a baby postpartum, they go through those things. But one of the things that helps women, if they'll do it, one of the things that helps them is to learn to nurse that baby. It helps their body. It helps their mental state. It helps their postpartum. Why? Because it's God's natural way. It's God's natural way. But we see this time of without natural affection. Right? It's common.
Except to what a mother is. Because mothers tend to have a desire to protect life.
Yes.
That's it.
You got
not to destroy it.
Okay. You just proved that abortion is not wrong.
How did I prove it?
Okay. Mothers have a natural instinct to protect their children.
Right, and they don't. The ones that do it don't.
Women who abort don't.
Right, because they have because
it's not a baby.
No, it's because they have. They have unnatural affection.
They've been told that it's not a baby.
No.
They're believing a lie.
Women who have been told their entire lives that abortion is wrong will still go and get an abortion. It happens all the time.
Of course it does, because hearts are evil. Hearts are sinful. Of course they are.
A huge number of women.
Yeah, they're evil.
And there have been studies. They've interviewed women who got abortions. 95% of them, even years later, do not regret.
That's a lie. That's a lie. No, it isn't.
Look it up.
I have looked it up. I've looked at all the same information you have. We just don't interpret the facts the same.
That's not true at all.
See, she's just a lying little witch, because every woman that I have ever talked to that was a sober-minded woman, mature in her mind and her thinking, I have seen them weep because they had an abortion. I can tell you of two women, and I believe both of those women that had an abortion, both of those women were suicidal, and mentally, they were a mess. Why? Because they killed their own babies, and they grew up to absolutely regret it. Because they put to death their children. That's why. Right? Right? Mm-hmm. I've seen the facts of women.
Statistics that say the majority of women do regret having.
I only know three people that serious implications. None of them regret it, so that's 100% there.
I've had two women in my church that had them, and they were
that woman that was talking to you earlier, older lady.
I heard that. But
it sounded like she regretted it.
That's not the norm. The norm is that the most common feeling after.
No, the norm is natural affection. What changes natural affection is when something comes in to harm that. The norm is to love life. The norm is to love children. The norm is for a woman to nurture a child. Why do you think so many women become teachers and go to schools? And become teachers in public schools and colleges. Why? Because God made them to nurture. And they're supposed to be teaching their own children. They're supposed to be teaching their own children. They're supposed to be nurturing their own children. Instead, what are they doing? They're in colleges and high schools and grade schools, and they love their job. I see these women, and they tell me when I'm out in the world and I'm out doing stuff, oh, I love my job. I love taking women at the hospital, nurses at the hospital say the same thing. Women at the hospital say, oh, we love these babies. We love these children. We love working in pediatrics. We love working in postnatal care or natal care. We love it. Why do they love it? Oh, I wish I could have more children, but I'm working and I'm doing this. Oh, I wish I could do what you're doing. Well, you can. Because God made them to. Something foreign had to come in and make them not love children. Some propaganda made them come in to hate children or to not want their own children or to put their own children to death. That's called propaganda. Because that's not normal.
An abortion is relief.
Why would you be relieved?
Because I don't have this.
Oh, that's a sick thing. I know I don't. Because I've watched my wife have 8 children, so no, I don't understand. It's dark. It's really sadistic and dark.
But you had 8 children.
Yeah, here's where she's about to get mad. About us having 8 children. I'm like, no, I don't understand that because I watch my wife birth 8 children. Well, 7. I technically watched the 7th one. But he kind of was delivered when I wasn't there. When she was in the hallway. But I saw most of the birth until that point. Unfortunately, that's the way that it went. but I was pleasantly surprised when I walked into the room and they said I had a son. My second son, Gideon. I was extremely happy about that, even though it was a very big surprise. Amen.
And you claim to be a Christian.
Yeah, I'm a pastor, because, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because now, in my view, and based on what Jesus taught, that's just wrong.
What's wrong?
Having eight children
is wrong.
This world, 8 billion people, and
whoa! She just said I was wrong with God because I had eight children. Whoa! Did you hear that? See, that, my friends, is witchcraft. She said the opposite of what God Almighty said. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Ah. So God tells us to be fruitful and multiply and Satan tells us not. Right? Right?
So many people are suffering. And
man, I'm going to have a lot more if we can.
Oh my God.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, see, that's what's...
I have regrets. I do have true regrets.
Yeah.
If I could do it all over again, I would have had more children.
That's what's wrong.
Really?
That's wrong. That's horrible. That
really?
Just to have babies.
So would you? So would you try to take the? So would you try to take the?
She said. She said that's just wrong. I mean, murdering babies is right. Killing them is what's right. Now here, I got something for you, friend. Let's think about this for a second. Do you get why pastors don't want to confront leather-tongued Jezebels like this? Do you get why they don't want to do it? Do you get why they don't want to have answers for every man that asketh them the reason of the hope that is in them with meekness and fear? That they don't want to have that conversation? That they don't want to talk to this wicked, vile Jezebel? That they don't want to put her in her place? Right? She said I was wrong with God because I have eight children.
That's wrong.
Really?
That's wrong. That's horrible.
That really?
Just have babies.
So would you try to take the law to stop us from having them? Is that what you would do?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, you sure? You wouldn't like get the army out and come looking for us and put us to death because we have children?
Because you have the choice to do that. I mean, I might take away your tax benefits, but...
Why is that? How else do you think you're going to pay for this country? How else without children are you going to pay for this country? You don't have enough workers now. Are you insane?
Okay, here's where it turns. I have to ask you a question. How else are you going to pay for the country if you don't have children? Why do you think they give tax benefits like that? Now, I would argue that they shouldn't be charged us anyway, but anyway. But the point is, why do you think they do? Because you need children. We don't have enough now. We don't have enough workers now. So that's why I asked her, are you insane?
How else do you think you're going to pay for this country? How else without children are you going to pay for this country? You don't have enough workers now. Are you insane? Are you an insane woman?
I think she...
Are you insane? How can you have a society without children? How can you fund it?
Did I ever say everybody should completely stop having children? Did I ever say that?
No, you didn't say that, but you know what? Let me tell you something. No, you didn't say that. But I would say to you, is it any of your business? Why do you care if somebody has children? The only time that you're supposed to care about anything in a society is when crimes are committed that harm other people. And guess what? Murdering your own sons and daughters is a crime. Look at her sign that says abortion is merciful. She's saying murder is merciful. You have to understand that these are the real witches. That lady is possessed. She is a witch. These are the real witches.
No.
Okay.
She's like China.
Okay, imagine if everyone decided, oh, I'm going to be like this guy, and everybody had eight children.
That'd be awesome.
Really?
I'd be great. What do you think would happen?
300, what is it? 300.
She's like, what would happen if everybody did that? I mean, man, that'd be great. Do it.
150 million people now?
Yeah.
Okay. Eight children.
No, 7 billion.
Four times. In one generation,
7 billion, the
world there would be over a billion of us.
That'd be
in
awesome.
Second generation, there would be 4 billion.
What would happen?
Americans. We'd die, suffer.
You really think so, huh?
Yes.
She has no faith.
No.
That's what happens.
No, it doesn't happen.
Yes.
It's never happened anywhere. We've never been overpopulated, and we're not overpopulated now.
Oh my gosh.
How could you believe something so foolish?
In an ideal world, this is our worldview. In an ideal world, every human being that's alive on this earth would repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ,
yeah,
become
then,
members
yes,
of their
they
local
would
church.
Stop having babies because they know, would see their
No, I didn't say that. You said that. Yeah. It's like be fruitful and multiply, okay?
Yeah.
And then God provides. He provides the air. He provides everything. Man says they want to snub their nose at God, despise his words, and do things their own way, so they form governments. Those governments are, that's the problem. There's plenty of resources for all human beings, past, present, and future.
How many people can fit in Wyoming? How many people can fit in Wyoming? How many people can fit out in these vast areas of like nobody there?
Arizona, it's great. There's a lot of leaves.
Right.
But there's no water.
They have water. They dig for it. There's water. They dig for it. But in all these other places...
You're living in a fantasy.
No, I'm not. I'm living right here.
Yeah, utopia, isn't it?
We're not running out of water.
You're just utopian.
We're not running out of water.
You're living in a Christian utopian dream.
You're living in a fantasy world, and you're making people suffer because of your fantasies.
I'm making people suffer. You're the one that wants to put them to death. I don't want to put anybody to death.
Right. She goes, you're making them suffer. I'm like, wait a minute. You're the one that's killing them. You're the one that wants to kill people. You murder babies. And you're saying that's a merciful thing. Oh, okay, Margaret Sanger. That's what Margaret Sanger said. The most merciful thing a large black family can do is put to death its unwanted infant. Oh. Right? That's the most merciful thing. Nice, huh? Nice lady.
We think you're living in a fantasy world.
Suffering.
The Bible says,
what's that?
What concord hath Christ with Belial? None.
Right.
You're not going to ever agree because you're not saved. You need to be saved. You need the mind of Christ.
Well,
and until then, there's not going to be any reconciliation.
Like you guys, I don't want any part of it.
Well, of course you don't. You're a raging feminist. Why would you want any part of it? Your heart is dark. Your heart is dark and broken and dead in trespasses and sins. What do you mean I don't care? I care about life. You want to murder it, and I'm having children. What's the difference? We have babies, and you want to murder them.
It's two different worldviews. It's a cultures are clashing.
To real people.
It's a culture clash.
To real people.
Not imaginary babies. Like,
who are imaginary babies?
Yeah, those fertilized eggs.
Who said anything about a fertilized egg?
That's when life, we were talking about conception, life begins at conception.
It sure does. That's what God says, yeah. Right. But you're not talking about aborting fertilized eggs. You're talking about aborting babies. That's what you're for.
Babies, but I don't see any babies, okay? You're just imagining, oh, it's...
Really? So since the beginning of time, people have had babies the same exact way, but they're not babies. That is the dumbest argument.
Well, look at
that is the dumbest argument.
Abortion is merciful.
Yeah. You've proven...
You are...
That proves that you don't care about...
That's insane.
That's Baphomet.
You are insane. And I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm just trying to be honest with you. You are insane.
Absolutely insane. I mean, to call for the destruction of your own people. I mean, that's insanity at the highest level. It's pretty crazy. But what do you expect from a raging feminist? Not much!
Overpopulation.
That was crazy! Okay, next video. We'll take the time to get through it, even if we don't finish it. But there you have it, friend. That's what they think about your children. That's what they think about your children. They want to put them to death. They want to kill them. They're okay with it. Okay, now this is a raging feminist. As if that one wasn't bad enough. Yep, Erica, that lady was crazy.
Unquote. If it's so great for women, why do they have to give them tranquilizers, some of them, afterwards? Why do you have to give them tranquilizers? You tell them,
oh, yeah, we're Baptists.
Baptists? No big
deal. Yeah, Jesus didn't die on Good Friday. On Friday.
He didn't?
No, he died before that. He was in the grave for 3 days and three nights.
He was in
the grave for 3 days and three nights.
Did he die on the cross?
Yeah, and then he was put in the grave.
And then he was in the grave for
3 days, three nights. I believe that he rose on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, the first day of the week. Thursday night. Yep.
God has a plan for unborn children. You don't believe
I'm gonna be honest. They're celebrating Good Friday.
Chapter 4,
I respect
verse
that.
25, Judges.
If he could just not direct his megaphone over where they're doing prayer and songs.
So this is a manipulating Jezebel right here. If he could just take and he could just, you know, they're over there and they're doing prayer. And if he could just not aim his megaphone there at their prayers, that'd be great. I mean, what a condescending, manipulating Jezebel. First of all, she's out there protesting their prayers. But being the hypocrite that she is, she's trying to shut us down, shut the preaching of God's words down. Why? Because they're what really bothers them is the preaching of God's word. So it's all, she's fake. She's completely fake. She's just a manipulating woman. And of course she finds out real quick. I don't do manipulation well. Why do you care about that?
Because I respect them. I respect their
religion
and their beliefs. And they're, you know, they're trying to celebrate Good Friday and worship. And that's cool. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
You guys want
they have the right
here
to do it.
You guys have the right to be out here holding your sign.
Yeah.
It's just disrespectful, I think, when he's directing the megaphone being super loud when they're having their Good Friday.
Well, the problem is that those are Catholics and Protestants mixed, and they don't have the gospel. So many of them are lost and dead in their sins. So we're here to preach to everybody that's here because they need to be saved.
Yeah, I understand that. And if they want to come have a conversation, you know.
We'll be here.
Exactly. You'll be here. But I think it's just disruptive to their prayer.
Might be.
God places great value on
don't respect other religions.
Doesn't have anything to do with respecting it. Well, to you it does. But it has nothing to do with respecting them. It has to do with respecting God and the Bible more than you do man. Yeah. Yeah, really? Really? Yeah, it does. Like, she thinks I'm stupid. Like, I can't tell she's being condescending. But, you know, that's what she, you know what I mean? She expects me to be, you know, agree with her, right? That's what she expects. Why? Well, because that's what everybody does, right? They all just agree and everybody gets along and nobody gets upset and, you know, you all just get along and, you know, you don't rock the boat. Right? They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want it's the preaching that bothers them, right? It's the preaching. It always does, doesn't it? Isn't it always the preaching of God's word that always bothers them? Everything's okay until you lift up your voice.
So, Bart, you know how it's like super sad that we've been all divided for like 1,000 years?
Yes, this is super sad.
Well, I think it would be awesome if we could become united again, so I wrote this new song to help make that happen. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, here it goes.
In the land of lovely loving, it is lovely to be loved, as we love within communion on this lovely winged dove. And the day of painful waiting for this love is finally done, as we sit and love together in the warm and loving sun.
Hey, that was pretty good, right? I bet if you sing it with me, we'll finally be united again.
Look, Frank, I appreciate the gesture, but unless you're willing to reevaluate your position on the number one issue that keeps us divided, I'm pretty sure that singing together about sunshine and lollipops isn't going to accomplish very much.
Aw, come on, Broseph of Arimathea. Quit harshing my ecumenical mellow and give it a try already.
All right, fine.
In the land of lovely loving, it is lovely to be loved, as we love within communion on this lovely winged dove. And the day of painful waiting for this love is finally done,
because you finally conceded that the Bishop of Rome is the head of the church by divine right.
Wait,
and that you must accept my authority in order to be a part of the one true church.
Unity achieved.
No, that doesn't count. Frank, don't try to pull that trick where you...
That's what they want. In the land of lovey-lovey, it is lovely to be loved. That's how they work. Well, she found out I'm not in the land of lovey-lovey. Right? So...
I don't want anything to do with you.
It's okay.
I think you're disgusting.
That's okay.
I'm
just so sad. Hold on. I gotta put me in the wide shot for this. I'm just so sad. I'm just so sad. Because you don't respect them that way. They're very loving people. And you're not, you big fat meanie head. And I feel really bad. And it really bothers me a lot. Okay, great lady. I don't care if it bothers you. Big deal. Okay, good. Great, it bothers you. Get over it, lady.
Place great value upon human life? No, they do not!
I just think that Does John Piper value human life when he preaches a false gospel and he despises the words of God?
I didn't hear you, I'm sorry.
I just think he's coming off very hateful. And I don't think that's something that God would appreciate. You know?
We generally don't take advice from people that murder babies and support the murder of babies.
I'm not trying to give advice.
Yeah, you are. You just did.
I'm asking respect.
Right. I just don't think God would really appreciate. You don't even know what God. You don't know anything about God. Right? But you're going to come here and tell me what God appreciates. Man. Like, I wonder who would marry this airhead right here. This absolute airhead. This empty vessel airhead right here, woman. Like, are all guys in the world like this stupid now? Are they that dumb that they would listen to this woman talk like this and be like, I'm totally moved by your argument so much, and I think I'm just going to quit now. I'm going to walk away and put my tail between my legs and run because you're sad. Oh, no. Whatever. It's like no truth matters. No firm principles matter. It matters that you're upset. Right? That's what matters. Right? That's what matters. Well, I think it's seriously time to call the ambulance.
I do is work all day, doing all my chores, cleaning up my messy room, sweeping all the floors. Mother made me clean my plate, kept me in my chair. Pity me, 'cause life just isn't fair. Oh. I don't want to go to school, homework is a bore. Ask me anything you want, 2 + 2 = 4. Johnny took my candy bar, Susie will not share. Pity me, 'cause life just isn't fair. Oh.
There you go. We called it on her.
if you guys would respect their prayer.
I know, and I'm declining respectfully.
Okay, all right. I feel like you guys are very hateful.
Well, you can feel anything you want. That doesn't matter to me.
Okay, I know.
Your feelings don't dictate what the truth is. They're just your feelings.
Nothing matters to you but yourself.
No, it's your feelings that matter. You dictate everything you do is based on your feelings in your own heart. Everything we try to do is based on the Word of God. You're telling me what you feel. And I'm telling you, your feelings don't have precedent over what the truth is.
Okay.
That's the difference. Your authority is your heart, and mine is the Bible.
So your truth is God.
Yes, the Bible is the truth. God's word is the truth. No, it's not my truth, it's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't live in a postmodernistic worldview.
Yeah,
you have a postmodernistic worldview. I don't have that. Yeah, I don't have that view.
Even without the guidance of God or the Bible, I really do feel like, and this can be prideful. I guess this can come off prideful. I feel like I'm more morally sound and compassionate than your group is.
I feel like I'm morally sound, more morally sound and compassionate than you are. Again, great. Glad you feel it. That's how you feel. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm better than you. That's what she just said to me. Do you get it? I feel like I'm better than you. Okay. Well, do you think I'm surprised at that? That you think you're better than me? Yeah, you feel like it. Again, that's because your feelings are your authority. So your feelings tell you that you're more moral, but your feelings aren't the judge of absolute truth.
Much more compassionate.
You know why you think they're compassionate? Because they don't say anything that offends you. They're over there not offending you. See, the Bible's offensive.
Had some conversations.
Jesus said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. Uh-oh. Yeah, walking around chanting doesn't offend anybody. Walking around even singing isn't going to offend them. Getting up and preaching the word of God and telling you to stop murdering your babies, stop killing your own sons and daughters, repent, and believe the gospel, yeah, that's offensive. Walking around and doing a Gregorian chant isn't offensive. I came to set a man at variance. Why?
The Bible's so violent.
Why is it so violent? It's not violent.
It is violent. There's war and rape.
There's war and rape in the world.
There is.
Right. So the Bible records war and rape.
Yeah. God comes and asks people to kill people in the Bible.
Yeah. Do you realize how insane your argumentation is? Well, you're telling. Well, you're telling me is that I should listen to your advice concerning how I should evangelize with my God on the sidewalk here, and I should be more like them. And then in the same breath, almost, you're putting down the Bible as saying, why is the Bible so violent? And why is it so bad? Do you see why I don't take serious anything you say?
I don't believe what they believe in either.
I know you don't.
Yeah.
I know you don't.
No, I don't believe in the Bible.
Of course not.
Why?
Right. So do you see what I mean? So a few minutes ago, she came up to me and tried to manipulate me. Do you remember this? Are you paying attention, class? Are you paying attention? Do you see why it doesn't move us when these people say these things to us? Because when she first walked up, she said to me, well, I just don't think God would want you to do this like this, and that you should be compassionate towards them while they're praying to God and they're doing all these other things. And then she just told me, well, I don't even believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. Right. Which is the sole reason why I ignored everything that you said and I continue to do what I do. But she actually thought that was like going to move me or something. Like I was going to be totally mesmerized and moved by her compassionate plea to me. Really? Wow, lady, do you deal with a lot of dumb men or what? Because I have the Spirit of God,
and God leads me. And men, true biblical men, are led by principle and commands from the Word of God. They're not led by emotions, and they're not moved by silly women laden with sins. They're moved by the truth and what is right. The determining factor of what we do in this life is what is right or what is wrong. If it is right, then we do it. And if it was wrong, we reject it. Those are men of principle.
That's why we're at odds with each other. Yeah. Because you don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine.
Right, that's why. That's why you're for the murder of babies, because you don't believe in God.
It's not because I don't believe in God.
Yes, it is. It's because your heart is fallen and it's wicked.
No, it's not because I don't believe in God. It's because I believe that the right of the woman carrying the fetus, baby, whatever you want to call it.
Sure, yeah.
The body, over, the life.
Okay, so the body, whatever, however you want to refer to it.
Sure.
I think that the right of the woman is more important. The rights...
Right.
You know, and people aren't here out here getting abortions for fun. It's not nobody wants an abortion, you know. And I'm doing everything I can to not get pregnant because I don't want a baby. So
right.
Multiple forms of birth control.
Right. You
know? Right. I don't want a baby. See, she just wants to go out and fornicate like a whore. By the way, you won't see this in this conversation, but later on down the road, she got mad at me because this wicked woman brought an amp, came over and started yelling and tried to stop us. Right? Tried to drown us out. So I told Paul, she was across the driveway from us. I told Paul, when I get back up there, I am cranking this thing all the way up and I am preaching straight to that whore. And I'm going to keep preaching to that whore until she leaves. That's exactly what I did. I got up there, I cranked that amp up as loud as I could on the microphone. I don't think I did it on that part. And I preached to her that she was a whore and she needed to repent. And that she had a whore's forehead and she couldn't be shamed. That she is loud and stubborn and her feet abide not in her house. Yeah. Guess what? She left. She left. And this woman walks by me later. And she goes. She walks by me later and goes, I can't believe how much you hate women. I said, I don't hate women. I have a wife and 5 daughters. I love women. She goes, that doesn't matter. You called them whores. You called that woman a whore. I was like, yeah. She's being one. And guess what? So is this woman. Because she's admitting that she's out having sex and she's not married. She's out fornicating. She's doing all she could do to not get pregnant. Except not being a whore.
Because I don't want to get pregnant. I don't want to have an abortion. I don't want to have kids, at least at this point in my life. So,
are you married?
I am not married.
So you're having
sex outside of marriage.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you want
to? I don't care about your opinion on that. I really don't.
It's not my opinion. It's God your calls belief. It fornication.
It's your belief.
No, it's not.
I don't want to hear your opinion on that. Oh. So now do you understand why later she got so angry because I called them whores? Why? Because she is a whore. She is one. Do you get it? She is one. And that's what upset her. Because the Bible says she's a whore.
I believe it's the Bible.
So you believe want a Bible. Way to... That's not what I'm trying to conversate about. We're talking about abortion.
The consequences of your sin. That's what you want, right?
What do you want? What do you say?
What do you want? You want a reason or a thing that will rid you of the consequences of your sin.
So a consequence of sin is a baby?
Your sin is if you're fornicating and you get pregnant, that
you see that as a consequence. We see babies as a blessing. from God. You see him as a consequence for your for actions.
Right, see? She sees a baby. She sees a baby as a consequence for her actions. So she wants out of the consequences. We see them as a gift from God. See the difference? That's what moves her. Everything, something moves. Everyone is moved by something. Everyone is moved by something. She's moved by her desire to fornicate and not have babies.
Want a baby? That's great. It's a blessing. For me, it wouldn't be. That's why I have That's why I have birth control, so I don't get pregnant.
To you, it's a consequence. That's why I said that. You want a way to get rid of the consequences of your sin.
Okay, I don't see anything wrong with that.
And we're here to tell you, based on the Bible, on God's word, that it is sin. And you will understand it someday. You will recall all of this. Written. You will.
Okay.
None righteous.
Well, let's talk with you.
Hey, I appreciate the conversation.
Yeah,
all
right, me as well.
Yep.
None.
There you go. There you go. So, you understand exactly what her motivation was. You can see it. But you got to tell these people the truth, friend. You have to. They have to know the truth. If we don't tell them, is anybody else going to? Is anybody else going to tell them? Is anybody else going to warn them? No. Probably not. They are so brazen in their sin. They are so brazen and hard in their sin that they will not be moved. Their natural affection will not be moved. It will not be. It takes the truth being given to them for them to at least be able to think about it and be able to ponder it. Right? It does. It takes that. All right, here we're going to play a song here. Let's see. How about
there waits for me a glad tomorrow, where gates of pearl swing open wide, and when I pass this veil of sorrow, I'll dwell upon the other side. While saying someday beyond the reach of mortal care. Someday, God only knows just where and when the wheels of mortal life shall.
All right, everybody, God bless you. You pray for us, and we'll see you again on Sunday morning. I'd be no preaching this week on the streets, but next week we'll be back at it. Pray for us Sunday morning service, 10:45 a.m. Central. Be back in the book of Proverbs. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And we'll be working on another one of those. We're going to talk about a false witness that speaketh lies, and the breaking of the ninth commandment, right? So, which God hates. So we will cover that on Sunday, Lord willing, and you pray for everybody to get healthy. There's folks that have been sick and not feeling well and all that, and just sickness been going around, and just pray for them, and pray for everybody to get better, and pray the Lord would just bless and guide our steps and direct us. And if you'd like to give to our ministry, I told you in the beginning how you can do that, but if you just came on here, you can mail us something to 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. You can do PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. You can do Cash App. You can do Apple Pay. You can do Venmo, which is PastorCooley@iCloud.com. Any one of those things, you can give that way, or just mail something in, whatever. And just pray for us. So pray the Lord will continue to bless our work and bless our members and keep us all walking in the straight and narrow way. All right, everybody. God bless you. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.